The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-carat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Darren Beatty joins us to react to the Georgia indictments. And then we talk about food. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. You're going to love this. Stop eating that vegan garbage, that fake meat. Get back to real meat. Good Ranchers, really good people, Christian conservatives. Buy a box of meat. Try it for yourself. New and improved. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. Get involved with the most important organization in America, TPUSA.com. That is TPUSA.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We have a special guest in studio, which fits with a lot of the macro trends, and especially what we're seeing in happening in Hawaii and just the food supply. Ben Spell is with us.
Yeah.
Ben, morning. Welcome back. Well, I don't know if you've ever been on the program, but welcome back to Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And so you are running a really important company called Good Ranchers, one of my favorite companies.
Yeah.
And I love meat. I don't eat any carbohydrates, basically, just proteins and fats. And you guys have the highest quality meat, and you personally, former pastor, right?
Yeah.
We see the world the same way. Just riff on your company. It's great. GoodRanchers.com.
Like you said, I was a former pastor just about 6 years ago, and my wife and I had been kind of talking about transitioning, and literally just heard God's voice one morning, go and start a meat company. And we talked about it, prayed about it, and felt that was what we were supposed to do with no knowledge of agriculture, or entrepreneurship or anything. So we set out, and we sold everything we had and just put our money into doing that. We had just had our firstborn, little boy, and that was in 2017. We started in 2018, and, God just blessed us like right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea what we were doing, but thankfully, you know, God had a plan for us. And then, we realized right as we got into 2020, so 2018, 2019, we had two, you know, decently successful years. When we started, it was me selling meat in a parking lot in a truck. Like that's what I was doing. And so, what we realized as we started getting some buying power and started purchasing more, that almost everything we were buying at that time was coming from Mexico, coming from South America.
Yeah, that's what people don't know, that it's foreign sourced meat repurposed as American meat.
Yep.
When you go to your local grocery store.
Yeah. And everything was, you know, it was said had a USDA stamp on it and all of this. And so as we started looking into it, we realized, oh, wow, there's actually no country of origin labeling law for beef or pork in the US. It got, quietly repealed in 2015. Prior to 2015, you had to have a country of origin labeling stamp for beef and for pork. And it just quietly just went away. And now over 3 billion pounds of beef gets imported into the U.S. every year. And it's being sold in the grocery stores. It's being sold online. And consumers don't know. People think that because they're buying meat at their grocery store or their local butcher or buying it online from an American company, you just assume that you would be getting meat that's coming from American farms. And it's just not the case. So when we found that out, we drew a line in the sand. Like I said, this was early 2020, drew a line in the sand and said, you know what? We are only going to source from American farms and ranches, which we actually found out is harder than
you would think.
harder than you would think. And so we set out on that journey, and then we realized that's when we realized that no one even knows this, and no one's talking about it. And why it's important is I mean, if you look back in history, as far back as you want to go, whoever controls the food supply,
yes,
controls the people. Mm-hmm. And we are actively just relinquishing control of our food supply. We're giving up our farmland, just left and right. And, we have to take control of it. We have to support American farms. We have to support American ranches. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we're looking to other countries to feed us. And,
So you guys could check it out at goodranchers.com. This is a super important topic, as you've kind of touching on. Look, you look at Bill Gates, the synthetic meat movement. They can control you if they can control the food supply. And there's a lot to this, from the mRNA shots. And I just want to say, I love Good Ranchers. Every one of our Shabbat dinners, we have all of our Good Ranchers meat. We run out of it pretty quick. And from the chicken to the cowboy, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And by the way, just riff on this for a second here, Ben. There's this movement to try to get rid of meat in our society. I think it's really damaging. It's not scientific.
Yeah.
I think it's trying to create metrosexual beta males that are more subservient to a tyrannical government.
Yeah. We've been demonizing meat, and especially cattle, for such a long time. And we've just, and I say by we, I mean just the people have kind of just been sitting by silently, just letting it happen. Mm-hmm. And we have to stop. The meat is actually good for you. It's what being a carnivore is what produces testosterone in men. It's what
literally,
literally. So we have to eat meat. It's what makes us men, actually.
That's
right. You know, so
well, and you want, I mean, just so everyone's clear, the testosterone, we don't know if it's necessarily only because of this, but testosterone rates are down like 80% from where they were 30 or 40 years ago.
Yep.
The average male in his 20s or 30s has a 280 to 350 free testosterone rate, where it should be between 750 and 900,
yep,
just looking at the spectrum.
That's right.
And no one wants to talk about this. And if you go to Seattle and Portland, you can see it. I mean, the men are basically feminized women. I'm not saying that eating meat will solve all the problems, but it certainly won't hurt. But they're also trying to get rid of meat because of climate change, too.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, there as of January of this year, there's a little over 28 million cattle in the U.S. raised for beef. 200 years ago, there were over 60 million bison my point is, there were 60 million bison roaming freely, and there was no climate change issues. We only have half of that raised for beef in the U.S. right now, and like I said, there's just this demonization of beef. And for some reason, the U.S. beef gets it worse than, I don't know, places like China. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been to a steakhouse recently or lately, but this is a pet peeve of mine. Every steakhouse I go to, the first thing they want to sell you is Japanese A5 or Japanese
Wagyu.
Sure.
Wagyu beef, yeah, sure.
Right. And, but yet we're demonizing American ranches, American beef that's raised here, which personally believe is the best beef in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just
support your country too.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
So it's goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. There's several aspects to this, but if any of you guys are like, oh, I'm going to go plant-based, be very careful with that. Be very careful, especially if you're a man. I'm telling you, you have, it's possible, but the protein, you have to literally just be like, just dumping pea protein into your shakes to even get to equilibrium, or you could have a nice steak.
That's right.
Right, Ben? I mean, I also believe there's amino acid benefits to eating meat. And some people say, oh, well, red meat has heart issues. Yeah, if you're like 300 pounds overweight.
Yeah, it's old science. I mean, it's not even science, but it's old data. Many, many, many nutritionists today, I mean, you can Google it, yes, look it up for yourself. They'll tell you, meat is essential. Meat
is
healthy.
Essential. Andrew Huberman, who is really well-respected Stanford neuroscientist who does a series of long-form podcasts on just the data. He was asked, they said, by Peter Attia, or somebody asked him, they said, if you could just eat one thing, if you had only to eat one thing, where it checked all the boxes, he said, oh, a good steak. He said it checks, you get protein, mm-hmm, you get good fats, there's no carbohydrates, amino acids. And
there's the thing. We need fats. And the fats found in meat
are the highest
and animal
quality.
Fats
yes.
are good for you. And
yes,
you need fats. In the 70s, we started this war against fat, everything fat free with the processed food.
And we wonder, by the way, you need in the hormone production, the hormone production sequence, fats are a necessary precursor to create testosterone.
Yep.
Now, too much fat could be bad for you.
Sure.
However, I mean, too much saturated fat, your body doesn't do that. However, it's actually carbohydrates that are the problem lot more than fats.
Yeah, our obesity problem in the U.S. isn't coming from red meat. It's coming from donuts.
Carbohydrates, and your body turning that into glucose and then storing it as fat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it's goodranchers.com. You guys can use promo code Kirk for it. Burgers and prime pork box and the cattleman and the cowboy. Yeah. And it's just a terrific company, easy to navigate website, really quick, Ben.
And right now we're doing 2 pounds of ground beef for 2 years with your subscription. So subscribe and get two pounds free for 2 years.
So check it out. We're going to talk about the mRNA shots after the break. There's something really insidious happening with our food supply. And you guys can get it delivered every single month, so you don't have to think about it or whatever frequency you want. You get to choose your boxes, choose how often. I'm 100% behind them. GoodRanchers.com. It's promo code Kirk. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Every day we hear about another familiar brand selling out their customers and going woke. Americans are sick and tired of having left-wing propaganda jammed every product they consume. Woke mobile companies are no different. For years, they've been dumping millions into liberal causes, and we had to take it because you need a cell phone and probably thought there was no alternative. I've got news for you. There is, and I want you to make the switch today. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the leftist propaganda. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching very easy. Keep your phone, keep your number too. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Charlie. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. If you guys have like a meat subscription with another company, cancel it. They're like pro pride, like it's bad. Okay? So go to Good Ranchers. They share your values.
Yeah. We're not pro pride.
No. I'm saying the bad guys are.
Got it.
Okay. So by the way, someone just said, Charlie, my husband has been carnivore for 2 years. His blood cholesterol results are the best he's ever had. Our doctor says to keep doing what we're doing, and he's shocked because the medical community told him to only eat carbohydrates.
Yeah.
But once he went to red meat, everything got better. I mean, I'm the same way. The less carbs I eat and the more steak and meat I eat with healthy fats, I do better. But let's talk about this mRNA in our food supply. What's going on here?
Well, to be clear, there is currently no mRNA vaccines being used in cattle in the U.S. right now. But just like with the country of origin labeling law, it was just silently repealed through Congress with the U.S. population not knowing. The mRNA vaccine has been in testing for over a decade for animal use. For over 10 years, they've been testing it, tweaking it, and Congress started talking about it earlier this year and beginning to lobby for the use of it. The American people are now got wind of it and are speaking out. So, we were the first company to put out a statement and say, we will not use the mRNA vaccine. We will not mandate it and we will not use it. And then we actually came under quite a bit of attack from the agricultural community saying, you're spreading misinformation. It's not even allowed. And you're fear mongering, just trying to get sales. And we weren't doing any of that. Because just like with the country of origin labeling law, if we don't get loud about it and let the people know that, hey, this could be a thing, this is something that they're talking about behind the scenes, this is something that they're lobbying for. If we don't let the people know that, then it just quietly happens. And the way the law is right now is you don't have to
disclose
what vaccines you use in animals. At all. So that's a problem.
And so how many vaccines does an animal usually get?
Well, I mean, every animal is different. So with chickens, nothing. Like chickens, I mean, it's a 6 week animal life cycle.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and by the way, our chickens. And with a 6 week life cycle, you shouldn't have to use antibiotics. You shouldn't have to use vaccines. You should be able to keep them healthy and in a clean environment for 6 weeks to go from hatch to harvest. Cattle, on the other hand, you're talking about 2 years, in fields out in the cold. They are herd animals, which means if one gets sick, they're all going to get sick. So very minimum, almost every rancher in the U.S. is going to use a vaccine, to fight against just a common cold. And that's at birth. But outside of that, they shouldn't need anything. They shouldn't have to have antibiotic, over antibiotic use or even antibiotic use because, again, they should be in healthy environments where they don't have to be sick, not shoved in pens, mm-hmm. not shoved in feedlots. They should have open air, open fields, and be able to graze. And the same thing is true. Same thing was true with pork. So like our pork, we're so proud. You know, people always say that you can't cook pork all the way through because you'll get sick. And that's with commodity pork, pork that's raised poorly. But our pork is raised so clean. The bacteria, like chicken has salmonella, the bacteria in pork is called trichinosis. And our pork has no traces of trichinosis wow. because it's raised.
I never knew you couldn't cook pork all the way through. I didn't know that. Yeah.
I
really stay away from.
Yeah, pork, if you're buying pork at the grocery store, you better cook it to temperature because it's going to have.
Oh no, you should cook it all the way through then.
That's yes.
Okay, grocery store. Yes, got it. Okay.
But our pork is so it's raised yes. so clean. Yes, it does not have trichinosis, and you actually could undercook it if you wanted to, and no fear of foodborne illness.
Look, the website right now is goodranchers.com with the Maui fires and potential food shortages and all sorts of questions about totalitarian control of food. This is super important. Final thoughts, Ben.
Yeah, exactly what you just said. You should stock up. And we don't believe in fear mongering or anything like that. But I think every American who can should have a chest freezer in their garage and fill it with essentials. You should have meat. Meat can stay if meat is vacuum sealed, which all of our meat comes individually wrapped and vacuum sealed. If meat's vacuum sealed, it'll stay good in a freezer for well over 2 years as long as the vacuum seal's mm-hmm. intact and as long as the temperature in that freezer stays frozen.
GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. Ben, God bless you. Thanks so much.
Dude, thank you so much, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. We are saving babies with preborn by providing free ultrasounds. When you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you're giving her the truth at the most important time in her life. And more than 85% of the time when she sees the baby and hears the baby's heartbeat, she will choose life. The voices that call themselves pro-choice are loud and proud, and they are everywhere. It might feel like an uphill battle, but there is no better fight to fight than with the truth of an ultrasound. $140 gives 5 mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies. For just $28 a month, you can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. I'm a donor to Preborn, and you should be too. Call 833-850-BABY. That is 833-850-2229. Or go to preborn.org/Kirk. If you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, the opportunity is just right there. Go to preborn.org/Kirk. Joining us now is Darren Beatty from Revolver.News. Darren, I have the entire indictment in front of me here against 18 co-conspirators. Darren, your initial reaction.
Well, initial reaction is pretty much reinforcing the reaction of the previous now 3 indictments we're counting. I fully expect there to be another one. But look, this is, even though it's at the state level, it's part of essentially a conspiracy amongst a weaponized Justice Department at the both state and federal level for the Democrats to eliminate their most viable political opponent coming into 2024. We're in complete banana boat territory in that respect. Then there's the substantive aspect pertaining to the indictment here, which is a really sort of contortionist approach to conspiracy law, whereby we're given this ridiculous theory that tweets of perfectly First Amendment speech, protected speech, are now considered to be overt acts of a conspiracy and effectively illegal. And so Trump tweeting, hey, go watch OAN now, or go watch this hearing about, you know, proceeding in Georgia about the election case, those tweets are illegal. And so this is sort of an extension of the overall thrust of the previous federal indictment, effectively attempting to criminalize what one might call election denial, to criminalize, in effect, any public speech that calls into question the legitimacy of the 2020 election. And this is very convenient because this in itself is effectively a conspiracy to remove Trump from the chessboard in 2024. But in so doing, it also contains a precedent preventing people at the pain of criminal punishment for calling into question the very illegal procedures they're using here in order to disenfranchise Trump supporters and criminalize Trump's behavior and take him off the chessboard. So there's a lot going on there. It is really yet another escalatory step in the already simply obnoxious and untenable level of political abuse that we see the Justice Department, both at the federal level and here at the local level in Georgia and Fulton County.
So, Darren, why has the reaction from Republicans been so underwhelming? You know, we're hearing from people, do something, do something. I do not know of a single Republican attorneys general that has active investigations against powerful Democrats or a local DA. Why is that? And is it time for Republicans to start to realize the only way we stop it is we have to have a mutually assured destruction pact with the American Democrat Party?
Yes, I appreciate the reference here. And I did see your discussion with Mike Bent that I think was really excellent and indeed on the cutting edge of what we should be thinking about in terms of a broad-based response to this unprecedented level of lawfare we're seeing, really hardball lawfare we're seeing from the Democrats and really the regime more broadly. And the idea that you're suggesting is, look, if it's going to be a situation where effectively any Republican that isn't rubber stamped by the regime is going to anticipate and expect a criminal punishment, possibly even jail time, if that's the situation we're in, then we need our people, our DAs, so to speak, our attorneys general in the respective states in which we have control and jurisdiction to play the same game tit for tat and say, okay, you want to indict Trump in Georgia, we'll indict Hunter here, or we'll indict, you know, the Democrats are so criminal, we're not at a loss for opportunities here if we wanted to play that game. The impediment here is really the will. And
this is the question.
You know, the reality, the reality is Republicans are not really set up to play that kind of hardball.
No. And so this is interesting, Darren. I mean, it's very Nietzschean, right? Do we have the will to power? Because this is like an unknown concept for people on the right. And in some, let me just say this as a first sentence. I'm glad that Republicans are hesitant to use power. You shouldn't want to, you don't want to be part of a political movement that is constantly enthusiastic to use power. Simultaneously, that old gentleman's agreement of we don't go after your guys, you don't go after our guys, you know, the kind of if you've been a former president, absent, you know, murdering somebody with an axe on public television, like we're not going to indict you, right? I mean, Bill Clinton flew with minors for sex to a Caribbean island. And that's just the beginning of stuff that we could be looking into Bill Clinton for. Hillary Rodham Clinton and Bill Clinton had a backwards money laundering operation called the Clinton Foundation. And I mean, she smashed devices, all that. But the institutional Republicans are always like, well, it would set a precedent. We don't want to overly politicize our system. That's dead. It doesn't exist. And so, Darren, let me just be more specific. What is it going to take if this indictment, this thing, which, by the way, is more than Trump, Jenna Ellis, Jeffrey Clark, these people are going to have to go into debt and double mortgage their homes to be able to pay for legal fees of something that's probably going to get thrown out, criminalizing watching cable television. And yet I do not see the action from are Republican attorneys general or prosecutors or local DAs? Darren Beatty.
It's a great point. And I just want to say, yes, this is, you know, they're using RICO charges, which is kind of ridiculous. These are charges typically, you know, the whole concept of RICO charges emerged as a kind of bespoke response to the problem of organized crime. And, you know, the implication here is obvious that they would use it against Trump. And in fact, this particular DA has used similar charges, ironically, and I think most famously, going after a cheating scandal in Atlanta. And how ironic that now she's using the same type of charges to support a much broader and more significant cheating scandal, effectively at the national level, to cheat the Americans out of a fair election yet again in 2024. Kind of ironic in that respect. But, and also I'd like to say, given that it's a RICO charge, there are other conspirators, they call it the enterprise. Like, they use a lot of language here. And Jeffrey Clark is someone we've written about extensively. He's a great hero. It's really a tragedy what's happened to him. Eastman as well. They're dragging a lot of good people into the mud here, and it's really a shame. As for what we can do, it's, as I said, the theoretical answer is clear. It's a tit-for-tat approach in which we refocus our attention and our energy and our efforts into marshaling a robust lawfare campaign that can compete at the level of what they're doing to us, at least to the point where we can say, okay, we can inflict pain on you too. Let's stop this game and get back to regular, legitimate, democratically sound.
I know. And this is, Darren, you and I are not enjoying talking like this. I'd love to go back to the country we grew up in where, you know, you don't have local DAs sniping off the top political challenger to a regime. Not healthy. We call it third world. It is. It's unsustainable. As Newt Gingrich accurately put it, he said, we are now entering a generation of bitterness. I totally agree. This is not going to be solved overnight. This is not going to be some sort of kumbaya session. But Darren, I don't see the fight. I see Republicans that are just taking it. I see
Republicans. There is no fight. And I regret to say I have to be even more cynical than you are, because there is one understanding according to which, oh, the Republicans are just so principled and just, you know, they're naive but good and principled people. And I think this is actually much more the case at the retail level, at the level of voters who are in many cases kind of naive and principled, because especially older voters, you know, remember a country that doesn't exist anymore and, you know, kind of the norms that allegedly prevailed back then. But the actual Republicans in charge, they're not principled, they're simply cowards. And you can tell this by the fact that they don't always resist hardball. They're perfectly willing to play hardball when it comes to attacking people who violate the regime's norms, when attacking people who go a little bit too far to the right, in Trump's case, in attacking Trump and anything associated with Trump. The Republicans played hardball against Trump, you know,
yes.
So they're perfectly capable and willing to play hardball. They're just not set up to play hardball against the actual people who deserve it, which in this case is the corrupt, illegitimate, malicious, and ridiculous filth running the regime, largely slanted toward the Democrat Party.
It's a question of the will. I wrote about this a year and a half ago in a short little booklet we distributed for Turning Point USA. And what infuriates me, Darren, is the people have the will. The voters have the will. It'd be one thing if I went around to these rallies, Darren. I spoke to 4,000 people this weekend in blue state of Washington, the Evergreen State. 4,000 people over four events, Lincoln, Reagan Day dinners, churches, and they are fired up, Darren. They're angry. They're mad. They're talking the way we are. Our ask is super simple. Can our leaders be in alignment with our voters?
Well, you know, Trump is really the person who tests the proposition. You know, Lincoln said we test the proposition whether such a nation, you know, can survive of the people, by the people, for the people. Trump is really the test of the proposition of whether a elected leader can be viable in the United States who's actually aligned with what the voters want. And so far, that's very much an open question, unfortunately, given the position that the regime has put him in with these indictments.
Darren Beatty, check out revolver.news. It's an excellent website. I visit it every single day. You know, Turning Point Action, our political arm, our 501c4, somebody asked me, they said, Charlie, what's the mission statement of Turning Point Action? I said, our short-term mission is to get the Republican Party as conservative as their voters. That shouldn't be too hard to do. Darren, give us some more detail about how the intel agencies, both internationally and domestically, use a playbook of provocation.
Well, I mean, they want to provoke another thing, like not what January 6th actually was, but they want to provoke a real instance of what they claim January 6th was falsely. And we know that it was a Fed's erection, and the smoking guns of the Fed's erection are Ray Epps and the pipe bombs. But what they don't want to provoke is precisely the same, the type of response that we were talking about in the earlier segment, which is the one and only necessary response, which is Republicans refocusing their efforts, their energies, yes, and their resources to creating a robust lawfare machine that can counter the weaponization of the Justice Department and the DAs on the state level that the Democrats have been doing. If we don't have that, we don't have anything. You might as well never send another donation to a political candidate again if we don't have that. You might as well not go to the voting booth if we don't have that. That is the precondition for having a society in which voting or even free speech matters. And we've learned that the game isn't what we may have thought it was. The game is not having the right ideas. The game is not winning the arguments. The game is not even winning elections in the narrow sense of the term winning, of actually having more people vote for your person than the other person. The game is in controlling the dissemination of information, as we've learned with the censorship problem at the big tech level and the government level. And the even deeper problem is the political weaponization of the Justice Department, of the legal system. If you don't have the legal system in order, you don't have anything really. And so that, I think, should be overwhelmingly the chief focus of all of our endeavors going forward at basically the fundraising level, at the resource level, yep, and at the messaging level as well.
Yeah, I am optimistic about the people, our audience. We have the best audience in all of podcasting and live streaming and Real America's Voice. They're on top of it. They get it. They're aware. They're engaged. Darren, I don't see it from the leaders. I see timidity. I see cowardice. I see excuses. And so part of it is just, hey, take the actual people and get them into some sort of alignment. Our people are begging for something to be done. And I'll be honest, nothing is going to get done in the short term. Because, Darren, right, the final thought is, because some of these leaders who might be really, you know, honorable on a church elder board, they might be really effective at running a local coffee shop. They might be good at a local law firm, standing up to, you know, local bullies. But some of them are now thrust into a wartime environment, and they're scared. Final thoughts, Darren Beatty.
Well, you're right in the sense it's a structural problem. It's an institutional problem. But in order to fix it, we have to fix it person by person. And the first step toward that is reorienting our attention and our messaging and our resources toward fixing this problem. If we don't have a system of laws, we don't have a democracy, period. Everything else is worthless. Even the free speech question, mm-hmm, is secondary to having a functioning and fair legal system.
Yes.
But right now we don't have.
Well, look, every tyranny is based on the idea that I get to take away your immediate liberty because I have the handcuffs and you don't. You look at Joseph Stalin, what made him a tyrant? It was the raids at 3 a.m. where he was able to expunge dissidents and even more shockingly, his allies. Because he wanted everyone to be afraid that someone might be knocking on the door. The book Darkness at Noon by Arthur Koestler is one of the most important books that you should read right now about what happens when a regime starts to weaponize justice. But here's the good news, everybody. The good news is the country is mostly with us. There are more Republican attorneys general than Democrats. There are more Republican counties. Darren, I know we're out of time, but if you were an outsider, you woke up from a coma and you just watched the last 24 hours of news, you would think the country was 85% Democrat and that there would be maybe three or four Republican attorneys general. And it's the opposite. Right. Maybe we need to start acting like the country we actually are. Darren, God bless you. Revolver.news. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Want to hear your reaction to this episode? So email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.